The speaker trembled as he forced every word for his speech. He shook a little, and he had a little bit of sweat, but it was his first experience in public speaking. You see, he was a new member of the Toastmasters. And it's a club that teaches and refines people's speaking skills. Well, in the church years ago, we had a Toastmasters as well. It's called a Spokesman's Club. And the very first assignment you had was in turn what they'd call an icebreaker. And it was called, the title of it was This Is Your Life. And there's the booklet that they give, that they assign, and here's your first. And you're assigned to speak on a subject that you're pretty familiar with. That's yourself. Now, if I remember correctly, Mr. Mendez had when their last feast in Honduras, they had a spokesman club, I think it was, you mentioned when you came back. Guatemala. They had a spokesman club. So it's still there, and it's in some areas they still have spokesman club. But typically the icebreaker is used, is a term that describes an activity or something that is done or people do to break the tension. It can be in spokesman club, it can be your first speech. It can be at an awkward moment or when there's a group of people and somebody says something, usually a joke, something that breaks the monotony. But if you were to ask somebody about an icebreaker, first, the most common answer you would get would be a ship. A ship called Icebreaker. Now, that's the title of my sermonette, is The Icebreakers. An icebreaker is a special ship that's designed to break through ice. And you mostly see those in the Nordic oceans, in the sea, like in North Pole or in the United Kingdom. They have some to break up the ice in the canals, but they're boats there. But they're specially made. Now, there's certain things in an icebreaker ship that's different than a regular ship. Now, one is the strength of the hull. It's a lot thicker. And it's the way it's shaped as well. It's designed to throw the ice to one side. And also, and in the bow is sloped to a way that it's made for ramming when the ice is too thick. And number three, the third obvious thing that design, it's the shaft. The shaft is a lot bigger than a regular shaft that's for a ship. And also the propellers, they add one more for propulsion, for ramming. Now, sometimes the ice gets so thick that the icebreaker crawls up on top of the ice. And with the same weight of the ship, it'll break the ice. And it's been known to do that as well. So it's a pretty sturdy ship. It's not fast, but it has its purpose. Now, we know a little bit about icebreakers. How about in the church? Icebreakers are first generation Christians, especially in the church. The first generation Christians, the ones that break through the set norm, the life that they were used to. They chose, with the help of God, they are chosen to break through the established religion, the established way of living. They're different than what their family was practiced on their religious beliefs. Some didn't even have any. Some, it was after discussing with several people throughout the years in the church. Some was very easy. The transition was very easy. Some was very, very difficult. Now, some of us are in second or third generation. And the second or third generation has a different function, I guess. It's not so much their function of breaking through, and it's to establish and build on what we've set up on. That's what it is. We are clearing the way for the second and third generation. And your jobs, I guess you'd call a job, is to build on what we've broken through. And it's more of a maintenance type, and more of a education and for yourselves, and because all the focus is not on breaking through. Now, there were several icebreakers throughout the Bible has several of them. You know, Moses, and you had David, so to speak, and then you had Nehemiah, and every one of those that went before us have something they did wrong. You know, we can say, well, you know, David did this wrong, and then Moses, well, he did this wrong, and Abraham, why did he send his maidservant out to die, and Nehemiah, why did he have his guards, you know, the walls on the Sabbath? And I've heard all these little nuances. And then the greatest icebreaker you had is in the New Testament, Jesus Christ. He broke through the established religion at that time. The ones that were stringent on traditions of men. The way they washed their bowls, the way they did that, the way they observed the Sabbath, so many paces, and then they called a home, and they did all that for show. They blasted the trumpets when they did a donation. Jesus didn't talk about that. He wasn't there for that. He was the cornerstone that the builder threw. And there he built his church. Now, that's the resistance. Now, resistance and icebreakers are often described as ships that have the sloping bow. And they go through the ice, and they break through that ice if they have to with their weight. Now, Christian icebreakers have to go break through the established way of living. In many cases, they do a complete 360. Now, that requires a lot of effort. Now, we don't do it, I say we, because in my family, I'm the only person that's in the church. We have to break through all of what we used to do and go the opposite direction. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 20 to 24. Now, Paul is talking to icebreakers. Paul is talking to first generation. He's talking to those people. Let's go to verse 20 here. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. Okay, he's telling you that. You have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, okay, he's telling you, put off concerning your former conduct. Okay? In other words, they used to live a certain way. Now he's telling them, put that off. The old man, the old conduct, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now you see that? It says, grows, the old man which grows corrupt. Now if you are corrupt and you keep on doing the same thing, it just gets worse and worse and worse until something implodes or explodes. You can see that in the world around us. You can, for instance, Hollywood. They're going through a big, huge transition right now. Because they were so corrupt for so long, now it's blown up. And 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There goes that mind, the sound mind, brethren. And put on the new man, which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. So we are putting on a new person. Change your old self. That's what it is. Changing our old self. We don't do that anymore. Now, that's if you have a group of friends and you tell them, well, I don't do this anymore. And well, I'm not. And the way you do things, I can't really go with you anymore. You know, I can't do that anymore. I can't celebrate Christmas, so on and so forth. I had a recent encounter not too long ago, as some of you might know, I go to my go to Del Rio to see my mom. And it wasn't too long ago that I bumped into an old friend. When I say an old friend, I haven't seen him in 36 years. And we went through old times and everything. He said, "Why don't you come to the house?" he said. And I said, "Well," he said, "his wife knows my wife. His wife was a retired teacher." So we go to his house. But what he didn't tell us, that he had barbecue. And he had a big plate of pork ribs. And I said, "You have pork ribs?" And he said, "Yeah, my husband, he's the best pork man. There's nobody can do pork ribs than me." Awkward. But see, you know, icebreakers, sometimes they get into that situation. And that's the type of scenarios that we encounter from time to time. Now, as icebreakers, I've heard some individuals that say, "Well, we're going to cut ourselves off from just anything or anybody off. You know, I'm not going to be involved in my family or anything. I don't even go to my house." Now, this is what I've talked to people. Now, Dr. Levy, if you remember a sermon that he had not too long ago, the seven events to watch in prophecy. I don't know if you remember that one. He says, one of his excerpts he says is, "Do not cut yourselves out." Because like Jesus said, go amongst the world. We are to watch. So we are part of those people. Now, structural design. The structural design for a ship, for an icebreaker, has special reinforced metal, and the framing's different than a regular ship. In a Christian, the icebreakers, we are made different. That's why God called us initially. That's why he called us. Now, we are to break through religious background we had before, we were made to break that through. Jesus Christ broke through the established religion to the Pharisees. The Pharisees had that. It's called for inner strength. That inner strength that is called. And part of that inner strength is to hold our tongue. We often confuse cunning and craftiness with wisdom. The outside world does that. And that is, we know as well as the Bible, that craftiness and cunningness goes hand in hand with evil. Let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Now, in order to have inner strength, you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit goes in, and it allows us to have an inner strength which is comparable to a deep root system. A deep root system. Now, this is the parable of the sower. Most of us, if not all of us, know it. Let's read chapter 13, verse 1. Let's read this first verse. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered there to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. Now, it wasn't an icebreaker, but he still went out so he can, because the crowds were smothering him. So he goes on and tells how different seeds fall on different areas of the ground, the rock, and into places where they were choked by weeds. But verse 9 says here, says, "Did he who he has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, who is he talking to? This anybody? In the past, have you ever talked to somebody that wasn't of our faith and tried to explain to him or her what you're doing and something, and it just might as well talk to the wall? Well, brethren, he's talking to us. Talking to us here. Matthew 15, 14. There's an example of that. You don't have to go there, but it's just an example. Matthew 15, 14. See, Jesus was speaking to the nation of Israel. He didn't have not time, but he was here to for the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, he's talking to us. For those of us that have ears, and we're hearing this, but look at how many of us are today. You know, how many were several years ago. Let's go back to Matthew 13. Let's go for 14, starting with 14. Chapter 13 in verse 14. And it says, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull." Now he's talking about Israel. Back in Isaiah, he was talking about Israel. "Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn." So that's where the 360 comes in, brother. "So that I should heal them." 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So he's talking straight to the icebreakers, those first people that dared to step out. "For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see." Going back to what you've tried to explain to people, and they just don't get it. And did not see it. "And to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Again, brethren, God has given Christian icebreakers structural strength to break through. And many times we just have that urge to even to speak. But what we speak, people need to listen. And so we have to choose our words carefully. Remember, even if it's true, does it need to be said? And does it need to be said to that person? Number 3, does it need to be said right now? And 4, does it need to be said to that person right now? So if you go through that little thing, that little checklist, you'll find out that, you know, your words will be chosen wisely. Symbolizing that we don't eat pork, or we specify that we have the Sabbath day for rest, isn't enough for us. Jesus requires us more as icebreakers. Now, there was for some of us, we that attended the feast in Corpus Christi years ago, one of those feast sites, there was a local news agency that came and interviewed several people that attended the feast. And their basic question to those people was, "What do you like most about the feast?" He got an array of answers. We need that wisdom, brethren, that structural strength to answer correctly. That inner reinforcement, that deep root system. The reporters, well, they were given various answers, both good and very bad. And they both televised it. A third one, that power and propulsion. Most icebreakers have, like I said, that extra propeller. They have the big shaft, and they also have the extra torque to break through. Icebreakers need power and strength to endure all that they need to go through to convert to God's way of life. We need for the barrage of family differences that we've had, work, because some of us, we were working and we worked on Saturdays and Sundays. And to go all of a sudden and build up the nerve and tell that our boss, and he says, "Well, sir, you know, I've now don't," and lots of times some of us had to have been shown the door. We lost that job, which is pretty tough. But and God chose us because of that, brethren. He wouldn't have chosen anybody else. 1 Corinthians 10:13, brethren. Because he knows that we can bear. So he chose those select people to be icebreakers. So as well as he chose the people behind them to be second and third generation, because he knew who can maintain what the icebreakers broke through. See, 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul was talking to, basically, I'm pretty sure they're icebreakers too. says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. He says, hey, come on, man. Suck it up. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The Holy Spirit, brethren, that comforter that gives us that support. Now, you don't have to turn here, but Ephesians 3:16 says, breaking in, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Power, brethren, power. He gave us power. Fear God and follow his commandments.